Welcome back to the OU's Mishnah Yomis. My name is Jack Abramowitz, and today we are continuing in the third chapter of Maseches Brachos with Mishnahs Beis and Gimel. In Mishnah Aleph, we discussed someone who lost a relative, a family member, and how they don't say Kriyat Shema or perform other mitzvahs, and how those involved with the burial are exempt in certain ways from tefillah and from Kriyat Shema. Now we continue with this theme of people who are involved with funeral preparations, with Mishnah Beis. It says, Kavru es hames v'chazru. They buried the deceased, and now they are returning. We'll see where they're returning. Im yacholin l'chaskil v'ligmor ad shelo yagiu l'shura. If they are able to start and complete Kriyat Shema before they reach the rose, yachilu, they should begin. V'im lav lo yachilu, and if not, they should not begin. We had said in the previous Mishnah that they would form rows. In fact, we still form rows that the mourners pass through in order to console them. So if they're able to complete, we'll see what, of Kriyat Shema before they reach these rows, then they should do so. Ha'omdim b'shura, ha'pninim p'turim, v'haritzonim chayavim. Those who are standing in the rows, the interior people are exempt from saying Kriyat Shema, and the external people, those on the outside, they are obligated in saying Kriyat Shema, and we'll see why that is in just a moment. Let's look in the Burton row. L'haskil v'ligmor, to begin and end, Parsha Achas shel Kriyat Shema. We're just talking about the first paragraph of Kriyat Shema. L'shura, to the rose. Shehayu osin shuros shuros, saviv ha'avel l'nachmo b'shuvam min hakever. They would form rows around the mourners in order to console them when they return from the gravesite. The imlav, and if they're not able to complete it in that time, shahaya haderech karov min hakever, that it's only a short distance from the gravesite, ad hamakom shabo osim hashura, until the place where they have formed these rows. Ve'im panay l'hasfi of a ligmor ad shlo yagiu l'shura, and they're just not able to say it in its entirety before they reach the rows. Hapanimim, haroim ha'evelim. Those who are facing the mourners are the ones who are exempt. The interior ones are those directly across from the mourners. They are exempt from saying Kriyat Shema because they are involved with comforting the mourners. V'hachitzonim, she'enim roam p'nei ha'evelim. Those who are not face-to-face with the mourners, they are obligated in Kriyat Shema because they are not directly, immediately involved with being Menachem Avel. Mishnah Gimel. Nashim va'avadim uketanim peturim mikriyat shema u'min hatfilin v'chayavim betfila u'bemezuzah u'bebirkas hamazon. Women, slaves, and minors are exempt from kriyat shema, and they are exempt from tefillin, putting on tefillin, but they are obligated in tefila, which is shmona esrei, and in mezuzah, and in benching, grace after meals. Let's look in the Barton Uro. Nashim va'avadim peturim mikriyat shema. Women and slaves are exempt from Kriyat Shema. Af al pi shehi mitzvah nasei shehazman grama. Even though it is a time-bound positive mitzvah, b'chol mitzvah asei shehazman grama nashim peturos, and women are not obligated in any time-bound positive mitzvah. So why does it need to tell us this? It's obvious. We already know the general rule. Sal kedai techamina l'chayven ho'ol ve'eis ba malchus shamayim. I might think that this case would be an exception, that women would have to say Kriyat Shema because it has in it the acceptance of the kingdom of heaven. So you might think that women should have to say Kriyat Shema. Komash Malan. This teaches us that no, it is not an exception to the rule, even though you might think otherwise. Utfilin mitzvah asei shehazman grama, hein. And tefillin are also a positive time-bound mitzvah. Delilah v'Shabbos loves man tefillin ninhu, because Shabbos and nighttime, these are not times when one puts on tefillin. I might think, since it compares tefillin to mezuzah, I might think that because women have to have a mezuzah, and tefillin are compared to mezuzah, that they would be obligated in tefillin also. This teaches us that that is not the case. Ketanim, minors. Even a katan, even a minor who has reached the age at which one would educate him in mitzvahs. Lohi tilo al aviv lechancho b'kriyat shema. A father is not obligated to educate his son in Kriyat Shema the same way. V'fisha eno metzui tamid etzlo ba'onas kriyat shema, because he's not always with him when it's time to say kriyat shema. The father gets up early and goes to shul. The father goes to shul late after the child is asleep. They're on different schedules. It's not practical to have the son with the father every time it's time to say kriyat shema. V'lo betfilin. He's also not obligated in tefillin. Mishum destam katan eno yodea lishmor tefilav shelo yafiach behen. A regular minor, your average young person, can't control himself enough so that he shouldn't pass wind while wearing his tefillin, which one is not supposed to do. V'chayavim betfila, but these people are obligated in Shmona Esrei. The tefila rachmehi, because tefila is a request for mercy, and everyone needs that. U'midrabananhi, it's also a rabbinic obligation, and when they created this obligation, they built into it that everyone has to say it. V'tiknuha af l'nashim u'lachanech b'haktanim. So the rabbis built into the tikkana of saying Shmona Esrei that women are obligated and that one must teach their son, their children, to say it. U'b'mezuzah, but they are obligated in mezuzah. D'mahu d'tema horol v'iskish l'talmud Torah. You might think to say that because it's compared to Talmud Torah, ki hechi d'nashim p'turos m'talmud Torah d'ksiv v'limadhem osam es b'neichem v'lo es b'noseichem. And since women are not obligated in learning Torah, because the Torah tells us in the 11th parak of Devarim, it says, you shall teach them to your sons. It says to your sons and not to your daughters. Hachinami niftru mimezuzah. So I might think that they are exempt also from mezuzah. Afal pisha hi mitzvah asei shelo hazman grama. Even though it's a positive mitzvah that is not time-bound, and they would normally be obligated. So it's telling us this, kamash malan, that women are obligated in mezuzah, even though there is a logical reason to think it might be an exception. Bebirkas hamazon, and they are also obligated in benching and grace after meals. Miboilan, icha yavos bebirkas hamazon medioraisa, kivan dechsiv, beachalta visavatu uverachta, havile mitzvah asei shalo hazman grama. So here's the question. Are they obligated in benching from the Torah? Does the Torah require women to bench? Because the Pasuk says, you should eat, you should be satisfied, and you should bless Hashem. So therefore, it is a positive mitzvah that is not time-bound, and women are obligated in such mitzvahs? O Shema, ein chayavos midiraisa, mishum deksiv al haaretz hatova asher nasan lach. Maybe they should not be obligated from the Torah, because that same verse continues, you should bless Hashem for the good land which he has given you. V'ha'aretz lo nitna l'nekevos. And women didn't have a portion in the land. Only men inherited land. V'lo ivshita. And this is not clarified for us. We're not spelled out whether a woman is obligated in benching from the Torah, because it's a positive mitzvah that is not time-bound, or are they only obligated rabbinically, because it's tied to the inheritance of a land which did not apply to women. That is the end of the second and third Mishnayos in the third parak of Maseches Brachos. Join us tomorrow when we will continue with the fourth and fifth Mishnayos.